This Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Morgan, Editor-in-Chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Today, I'll be interviewing Jaya Ballou, the Chief Information Security Officer for Avast, one of the largest security companies in the world, using next-generation technologies to fight cyber attacks in real time. This podcast is sponsored by Avast. Visit them on the web at avast.com. Hi, Jaya. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, no worries. Thank you for having me.
So to start, tell us a little bit about Avast. What has this 30-year-old cybersecurity company been up to lately?
Well, I think the mission of Avast is to keep 435 million people safe online. And that is pretty much what we do, whether it's through the, you know, the antivirus software that we have on PCs and mobile phones, or our VPNs, or our utilities like CCleaner, which you may have heard about recently. This is what we do. And more recently, we've got something which is pretty funky called Avast Omni, which is a sort of solution for smart homes to protect all IoT devices by proxying all the traffic through that device and essentially making sure you don't need something on the endpoint, but can protect that entire network.
So you're relatively new to this role. What were you doing previously, and why did you decide to move to Avast?
So before I came over to Avast, I was the Chief Information Security Officer over at KPN in the Netherlands. That's like the incumbent telecommunications entity. It's kind of like the AT&T of the Netherlands. And I was their CISO, and that was pretty cool. But I was protecting about 18 million users, if you will, like if you take the population of the Netherlands, and the opportunity to have even greater impact and to have 400 and some odd people, million people that you're protecting, that was too cool for a CISO to pass up.
Well, it sure seems like you've been busy, considering you had to deal with a nation state attack on your first day on the job. What can you tell us about Avast's ABIS incident?
Yeah, so I started at Avast on October the 1st, but like really, I had to hit the ground running because the week before I started, I got a call in the last week of September that, you know, we were seeing some really weird traffic and some strange logs. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe we're overreacting. But upon further examination, we realized how serious it was. And we call it Abyss because we had to kind of follow the attacker into the abyss in order to track them. So they had done a lot of work trying to hide their tracks through the network. So that's why it was really full on the first couple of weeks on the job.
Wow, that sure is a lot of pressure for your first task at a new gig. How did you handle that?
Not very well. it was really difficult, but we, you know, we started a huge and rather extensive investigation. We found our friends. We figured out who we could work with, both nationally and internationally. We engaged an external forensics team, and we got all of our ducks in a row into a sort of war room-like atmosphere. We started tracking, you know, everything. We started reconsolidating logs, and then you always find, you know, that it's imperfect in terms of where your visibility is. You find all of this stuff, but you know, we had enough information to identify like what was going wrong and how we should attack it and what we needed to protect first. So that kind of went okay until we were ready after we had enough info to then follow up with remediation.
So what was the damage? Were your users affected?
So to be frank, the real damage was, I think, the diversion of corporate resources for like putting all hands on deck for this incident. But in terms of user impact, I'm happy to say that we believe that the products that we have and the user impact thereon was nothing. And that's because we were acting incredibly paranoid, I suppose, and double and triple checking everything.
And how can you be sure that your products weren't affected?
Well, so again, that how we check we have a team of reverse engineers. And what they did was check the binaries of every single product we already had released earlier in that year. From the first potential for attack, we checked everything that was released in that interval. Then we did something else, which is we revoked the certificates of the product that we believe that they were targeting, which in this case was CCleaner, so that the code signing certificate that was used to sign that could not be manipulated and used to sign malicious code and then resent to our user. So we revoked that. We then pushed an update of a new CCleaner version with a new certificate signing key. And we did a whole bunch of remediation actions throughout the network. When we did this stuff, you know, we knew we were tipping our hand to the user, because until that time, we kept the attacker's profile open so we could keep studying any new attempts at entry into the network. And it was a bit of a difficult moment, to be honest, but I think that we successfully disarmed the attacker before anything really bad happened.
So in your opinion, why was Avast targeted?
Frankly, I think Avast was targeted because we are supplying to a very interesting set of end users. And we thought specifically CCleaner, because CCleaner is the product in our product line that actually delivers to public sector and very large companies. That's the one product that does that in the products table. So I think it's just a supply chain attack where via us, they could get to that end customer.
So what are you doing to ensure something like this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, so we have an entire security program that we've started to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But there's a couple of things happening in parallel anyway. We are further isolating and compartmentalizing our network in order to limit collateral damage, where, you know, assume that one area could get breached, but it doesn't spill over into the other. We have entire programs for entire employee population. We are like micro segmenting a lot of the ways that we do or a lot of the places where we do product releases. So there's a lot we're doing to prevent this happening again. But the biggest is increasing visibility and monitoring, and increasing our ability to conduct offensive actions on our own network. So basically continuously hack ourselves to look for all the weak points, eliminate them, create stronger defenses, and then, you know, do that again, rinse and repeat.
So as you reflect on everything that's gone down in the abyss, what's your biggest takeaway?
Well, you know, there's so many things that I learned from Abyss, but I think the biggest takeaway has got to be how we work together. And the fact is that we didn't just work well within the company. We also looked for a strong amount of collaboration across the security industry on this issue. We communicated very early on with our competitors / colleagues in the security industry. We worked together with them to give them indicators of compromise quite early on. And I think that collaboration with security industry and law enforcement really made all the difference in our efforts.
So, Jaya, what advice would you give to fellow CISOs in your shoes?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is to make sure that you have this principle that you can see everything. Like during an incident, you also always find that your logs are somehow imperfect. Either they're not harmonized or you don't have everything you need. So visibility and monitoring is like non-negotiable. And the second thing is, if you can do that, then make sure you have enough possibilities for capability and capability expansion, so that when the rubber hits the road, you've got hands on deck. And then when those get burned out, you have a second set of hands on deck, or at least a backup plan for how to get more. Because I think, you know, during the incident, we had to work 24/7. We were creating our own denial of service attack on our employees effectively. So that was really important. The second thing is, we really had to, while we were doing all this stuff and doing it in relative secrecy, we still had to make ourselves available for giving information and communicating across the company. That's not always easy to do because you want to keep something secret, but we really tried to do that, to communicate appropriately on time. We even had to create a Slack channel where they could ask questions in the aftermath and address their concerns and also potentially flag anything new that they would see. And then the third thing I would advise every CISO is that professional paranoia, it belongs in our CV. So check, but then always check again.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Jaya.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Avast. Avast prevents 1.5 billion cyber attacks every month. They use advanced threat protection to keep you and your business safe from cybercrime. To learn about Avast, visit them on the web at avast.com. I'm Steve Morgan, editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. To hear our other podcasts and to watch our videos, visit us at cybercrimemagazine.com.
The Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures, your trusted source for cybersecurity facts, figures, and statistics. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.